Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I am your host, Eric Christensen. And if you'd like to reach out to me, definitely feel free to drop me an email at meded101.com. Hit the contact button. If you like the podcast today, definitely leave us a rating review on iTunes. Greatly appreciate it. Or share us with a friend, colleague, email list, wherever you run into those pharmacology-loving friends. All right, with that, let's get into the drug of the day. And that is going to be calcium acetate. Brand name of this medication is Foslo, and this drug is a phosphate binder. And so when I think about this, okay, why would we need a phosphate binder? Essentially, this drug, through its mechanism, binds up phosphorus in the gut and prevents absorption of phosphorus into systemic circulation. And this accumulation of phosphorus is generally a problem in patients with chronic kidney disease. So if you remember, the kidney is the filter of the body. It helps regulate electrolyte levels, and phosphorus is certainly one of those things. So in CKD, we can get hyperphosphatemia, and from that, we may need to reduce the risk from some of those complications of hyperphosphatemia by giving a phosphate binder. Okay, very, very important to, remember that background and why we would potentially need a phosphate binder. Now, this binds phosphate in the gut. What does that mean as far as administration? So very important to remember to administer this drug with food or meals, okay? Because we're binding phosphate in the gut. If we're not eating at the time that we're administering this drug, there is minimal phosphate in the gut to be bound up, okay? So it has to be administered with meals, with food, with snacks, whatever. Got to remember that. So, so important to educate our patients that that's how this drug works. Because a lot of drugs don't work that way. A lot of drugs work by systemic absorption into the bloodstream, and they have their physiological effects at different sites that the bloodstream delivers it to. So this drug works in the gut to lower phosphorus. Got to be given with food. All right, let's get into adverse drug reactions. The most critical thing, most important thing I think you can keep tabs on, pay attention to, is the risk for hypercalcemia. Okay, so the drug is calcium acetate. So we are giving calcium. Some of that calcium from the drug can be absorbed. And as we absorb more and more calcium, as we give more and more calcium, maybe to bind up more phosphate, those levels can escalate, and that can get to a problem where we get elevated calcium levels, which could lead to significant cardiac changes and things of that nature, if it's severe enough, of course. So one thing I keep a lookout for in clinical practice is also vitamin D, because this can help increase the absorption of calcium and ultimately raise calcium levels. So those two in combination with each other, which is done from time to time for other various reasons, that can really ratchet up those calcium levels. So again, monitoring is so, so important for those calcium levels. GI upset certainly can happen with this medication. We already give it with food, so that's, you know, hopefully going to help with some of that issue. If you also remember, calcium can be very constipating for some patients. And the more we give, the more likely it's probably going to cause some constipation. So in certain situations where maybe we can't avoid using calcium acetate, we may just have to manage that constipation using other medications, whether it's, you know, stool softener, stimulant, whatever the case may be there. So something definitely to ask your patients about when they're taking calcium acetate or larger doses of calcium in general. So obviously we mentioned the calcium, we need to monitor that. We also obviously need to monitor phosphorus. So those are two pretty obvious things. We're trying to treat high phosphorus, and we're giving calcium. So we got to check those out. Renal function is also going to be monitored over time to see how things are progressing, as this drug is pretty much given in CKD exclusively, at least in my experience in clinical practice. Also, parathyroid hormone, there's an interplay there with renal function as well. So that's another thing that might be monitored. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll get back to it with drug interactions. So if you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material like pharmacotherapy, ambulatory care, medication therapy management, or geriatric exam, definitely go check out our study materials. Support our sponsor, meded101.com. You can find links to all those resources, meded101.com/store. In addition to that, if you're not a pharmacist, we've also got a growing list of other resources from Amazon books to Audible books, if you like to listen on car rides, things like that, and learn things about medications. Definitely go check out those resources, support our sponsor, and help keep this podcast free, enjoyable, and educational for all. All right, so let's finish up on drug interactions. Giving a calcium product, whether it's calcium carbonate, calcium acetate in this case, calcium definitely binds up certain drugs. So thyroid medications, it's going to lower ultimately the absorption of those thyroid medications if given close to one another in timing. So there, we're just going to monitor thyroid function, you know, TSH, things like that, as well as we may try to tweak the timing of that administration if that becomes an issue where your patient's requiring escalating doses and doses of levothyroxine, let's say. Recognize that we may have a binding interaction going on and, you know, look at that patient's medication regimen, and certainly, you know, calcium acetate is an example of that. Quinolone antibiotics, so that could be a really, really negative thing where maybe we're treating somebody for pneumonia or a serious infection and we're not absorbing the drug as much as we should because calcium acetate is binding it up. Baloxavir, a newer anti-influenza agent. Certainly bisphosphonates for osteoporosis. Those are a very touchy medication. You can go back and listen to that podcast if you want. But very, very common to have binding interactions with bisphosphonates. Some of the HIV medications, dolutegravir, elvotegravir, those medications can be bound up by calcium acetate as well, and ultimately drug concentrations lowered, which may increase the risk for treatment failure in HIV, or like I mentioned with quinolones, infections, which could be a really, really bad thing, certainly. So you got to pay attention because this drug is given frequently with meals. So that's multiple times per day. So we got to be really careful with timing and adjusting the timing of those medications. But also tricky, we've got to time calcium acetate with meals as well. So very, very tricky. You got to work with patients on an individualized basis. You know, may have to skip doses, alter timing. You know, it really does depend upon the clinical situation, how severe their elevated phosphorus is versus how severe the infection is, and so on and so forth. So weighing some of those clinical parameters is really, really important on a case-by-case basis. Okay, so binding interactions, very key, very critical with this medication. The other critical, or at least I think critical, drug interaction profile with calcium acetate is that risk for hypercalcemia. So adding in vitamin D, patients may be taking Tums for an upset stomach, which contains calcium carbonate, thiazide diuretics. All these drugs are examples of drugs that may raise those calcium levels further and create some really significant hypercalcemia, which could lead to some severe consequences if left unchecked and unmonitored. So definitely some important drug interactions with calcium acetate, generally around the calcium side of things, as well as the binding interaction side of things. So I think that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. If you enjoyed the show, leave a rating review on iTunes, or wherever you're listening, greatly appreciated to those of you who have already done that. It definitely keeps me going hearing kind words and things of that nature. So just wanted to take the time to appreciate the thousands of you who have listened and left reviews. Definitely very, very heartwarming and appreciative of that. If you enjoy the podcast, definitely go check out the free resource at reallifepharmacology.com. We've got a top 200 drug list you simply get for subscribing with your email. We'll email that out to your email box there. That's basically a pharmacology study guide where I highlight really important clinical pearls, that things that I've seen from the real world on the top 200 drugs. So definitely go check that out. Absolutely free, simply for subscribing, following along to the podcast. We email you out, obviously, new updates when we've got a new drug that we've covered on the podcast. Take the time, support the sponsor, meded101.com/store. Greatly appreciative to all of you who have done that. Helps keep me going, helps keep the podcast free for all to enjoy. I'm going to sign off for today. You can track me down on LinkedIn as well as meded101.com. Hit the contact button if you want to send me an email. Those are probably the two best ways to keep tabs on me. And with that, I'm going to sign off. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.